It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
I'm the sun and the air.
And those are Manchester's own the Smiths, although, of course, they are the blue Manchester side, not the good red kind. So, but that's still Morrissey, who is getting ready to do a U.S. tour this year, by the way, guys. So get ready for that. I do want to say thank you to all of our listeners worldwide. Over 7% of our audience is listening from Israel. So shalom to all of our friends in Israel. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. And we love it that Manchester United is a global club, and we love it when we have people all over the world tune in. Thank you very much. All right, guys, my name is Rhett Oldham, and I'll be your host this evening on Talk Manchester United with St. Louis Red Army. With me are the usual suspects. We have Patrick Kelly, PK. We have Matt Hutchinson, and then we have a bubble blower with us this evening. We have from the St. Louis Hammers, William Brawley. And so William's going to be giving us his perspective over the West Ham-Manchester United match as well. Guys, this evening on the show, we're going to be talking about West Ham. We're briefly going to talk about Valencia. We're going to be talking about what's going on with Paul Pogba, what's going on with Jose Mourinho. And then we got some bits and bobs, some interesting things going on in local St. Louis soccer right now as well, and just some other things that we think are pretty interesting. So, all right, guys, let's jump into it today. West Ham United coming in kind of towards the bottom of the table, and PK just really jumped out of the chute. Three goals against West Ham. What was your basic take over the match?
They put in a new system that made no sense for the game. They played scared against an inept West Ham team. The 5-3-2 was pointless. You played with two forwards that couldn't hold the ball. And everyone played on an island. There was no ball support, nobody around you as soon as you got the ball in the offensive third, and they're quick to counterattack. It just, what the hell are they doing? It's frustrating as it can be, but you draw up this huge game plan for a team you don't need to. Let's get some consistency. Let's take baby steps before we start changing game plans every game.
Sure. Matt, what was your take on the match there? Just kind of your elevator pitch, the 30-second pitch you talked to somebody about the West Ham match.
Yeah, it's just another completely dysfunctional performance by United. We allowed West Ham to actually take the game to us. Another formation, another 11, and it's just the same result. It's not clicking, and the players just did not seem up for it whatsoever.
Okay, all right. And so, Brawley, man, I want to bring you in on this. West Ham coming out strong with three goals. Two of the goals are from some recent signings. What was the take from the Hammers over there? What was your 30-second pitch when you talked to somebody about the West Ham-Manchester United match? What would you tell them?
Oh, God,
sure.
Here we go.
Well, first off, we were buzzing. I mean, to come out of the gates the way we did, I don't know why Manchester United – came out and just sat off of us. Like, you know, playing at our own stadium where we've struggled, you guys played off of us. I mean, we took it to you guys within the first 10 minutes, which is not like us at all. And I couldn't figure out why that was, and I was loving it. But I was over the moon with it. I mean, 3-1, I predicted a 2-1 defeat on my show. And it was just a weird day for you guys in red. And it was a great day. All of our new signings looked fantastic. Anderson with a lovely finish for the first goal. And then Yarmolenko gets lucky with the deflection. It was definitely going wide. I mean, we got a bit of luck there. And then on the third goal, I don't know what your defense was doing there. I know Pogba, they probably switched off because they thought he was fouled. But then to just not even just give up, they didn't even run back for Arnautovic. They were just hoping De Gea made the save, and he didn't. We won 3-1, and I'm over the moon with it.
Arnautovic, man, has really been in top form lately. It seems like he knew when to get away from Stoke. Now that Stoke, I think, is at 15th or 16th in the table in the championship. So
yeah.
To see him just riding high, he had an early knock. But I think right now he might be the MVP of the Hammers right now. What's your thought, Mr. Brawley?
Oh, it's not even close. I mean, he's our best player. I think he may, and this would be a stretch, but he may be the best informed striker outside the top six. I would struggle to find someone that's been better than him. He scores in just about every single game that he plays for us. Thanks to David Moyes for realizing that he's a striker and not a winger. That we have that to thank for him. So thanks, David Moyes, for playing Marko Arnautovic as a striker. But it's no question, far and away our MVP. He's the best player on the pitch whenever we play. And when he's not there, we miss him dearly.
PK, to hear somebody speak kindly of David Moyes on our show is rather odd. I kind of had this my neck kind of twitched a little bit. And it jerked a little bit. I was like, oh, my God, somebody's saying nice things about David Moyes. But let's talk about United now, because Brawley did mention to us about United's defense. Eric Bailly not playing. Scott McTominay, who I think would be a good center back, but I don't know if I want to start doing these experimental things in a crucial match in October. But Scott McTominay at center back, Eric Bailly just buried right now, not even playing. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's good to see McTominay play. I love the kid. He's not a center back. And I think putting a midfielder like that at a center back position gives you flexibility in the formation. But to West Ham's credit, they did a good job at keeping our five backs pinned. When you play five backs, you have two backs you can attack with, and they just pinned us. We couldn't get forward. If we did get forward, we had no possession. I think it's a little shot that he said he wanted another center back, and he didn't get one. So he put in a young midfielder to play that position. It gives you flexibility with it, but that's not McTominay's position. That's not where he's going to win his bread. It was just frustrating me to look at that card, and I'm lost. I don't get what – there's no purpose, drive, or identity, and it's driving me insane.
Matt, how come Bailly's not playing?
I wish I knew. Bailly's got a big personality, and so I almost wonder if there's something going on personality-wise between the two guys. I don't know if there was some sort of bust-up that has not been caught or talked about the media and somehow stayed quiet. But he's healthy. He's looked decent in all the games he's played for us so far. I'm at a complete loss. There must be a personality thing there, and that's the only thing I can pin it on.
Brawl, you know, it was a great victory for you guys, but I couldn't help but think, man, this would have been such a fun game for the Hammers at the old bowling ground. Man, this Olympic Stadium thing is just, God, what a horrible stadium to watch soccer. I mean, the pitch is so far away from the stands. Boy, the old bowling ground, man, the Hammers would have been right on top. They'd have been screaming and yelling and chanting. It would have been the atmosphere that the EPL is known for. I mean, to me, it was almost like, yeah, it was a great victory and you should be over the moon. But, man, the fans just weren't as engaged as they could have been.
Well, I think that's harsh on us. From what I've heard from all of our fans is it was the best atmosphere that they've seen at this ground.
You're up 3-1 on Man U. Of course you are.
Yeah, no. Right, but
the party.
But I think it's harsh on the stadium because it actually is a wonderful stadium. It's not a football purpose stadium yet, and I think I could go into this. And I know it's not a West Ham show, but there's a project and plan in place. Eventually, we definitely are going to take possession of the stadium. I have no doubt about that. Right now, the City of London owns it, and they're leasing it out to us. And I think eventually that we will take over that stadium. But the atmosphere on the day, from what I could see and from all of my friends' stories, they said it was incredible. And I don't know what the away fans is like, but you're right. The fans are too far away from the pitch. But I have trouble placing the blame on atmosphere due to the distance away from the pitch, because I mean, you look at Lazio, you look at teams like that. There are plenty of teams around the world that have a running track, and ours is partially covered. It's actually mostly covered. But there are teams out there that play with a full running pitch, running track around the pitch, and they have no problem generating atmosphere. So I have a little bit of an issue with that, as saying that's why the stadium isn't great. But you're absolutely right. We miss the bowling ground dearly. I do. I know personally. But I know 99% of our fans, if they could go back, we definitely would. We were kind of taken away from our home. I don't know what it would be like for you guys to leave Old Trafford, but that's what it was like for us. So, yeah, it's definitely bittersweet, and not even sweet, really, to leave the Bolin and just the London Stadium. It just hasn't been great yet. We haven't made it home yet. But games like this one, this week against Manchester United, will start to make it feel like home.
Hey, Matt, you know, so Brawley was talking about, you know, the bowling ground, talking about the changes in the stadium. And I'm going to bounce just back and forth just a little bit. You know, so here Valencia comes in the Champions League this week to a 0-0 draw. And Old Trafford is starting to feel like not the Old Trafford that we're used to. I think you saw this as well. There was I saw this on social media. Whereas the players were leaving the pitch, boy, the fans were really starting to show their displeasure. Old Trafford used to have this aura. I don't feel that anymore, Matt. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. One of the criticisms of Old Trafford is that, you know, during the regular Premier League games, you got a lot of people who are coming in and they're visiting Manchester, they're traveling in, so you don't have a lot of the true fans there. And so sometimes that does cause the atmosphere to be a bit dull. It does always seem, though, that for the Champions League night that the true fans are there. They're always seem to be up for those games, and it just did. It just seemed dead that night. The frustration just carried over, and that mystique and that feeling you got whenever you saw the players walk out of the field and it's Old Trafford and it's full 60,000 Reds and they're singing and they're loud and the TIFO and the other things, and it just was not there. And I saw that video clip. I actually saw it today, and I was half embarrassed, half not surprised. Go ahead.
No, the point I wanted to make is, to me, it kind of made my heart sink a little bit. You know, United fans, we're with our team. I mean, our chant is "We'll never die." I mean, the Munich disaster is first and foremost in our mind. And when you see that, you're like, wait a minute now. Now I feel like we're a Chelsea supporter group all of a sudden. I just don't like that feeling.
Right. And after the Tottenham game, when we saw Jose walking off the field and you know, we're thinking this might be his last game with us, the fans in the Stratford End end up standing up, chanting his name and clapping him and applaud him as he's walking off. And that showed great class. And then, you know, contrast that with what we saw the other night where they're cursing the players out and call them garbage. And it's shocking because you don't see that from our fans. But at the same time, the frustration is just boiling over.
Brawley, I mean, you're hearing this conversation here, and it probably gives you flashbacks from last year when your captain, Mark Noble, had to nail a supporter, you know, on the pitch there. But this year it looks like Manuel Pellegrini and the signings have kind of brought new life into the club. Even with the slow start, it seems like the Hammers have got behind their manager and their club.
Well, I think people outside of the West Ham community were panicking for us after four games. You know, you look back last season with Frank de Boer at Crystal Palace. They lost their first four games, didn't score a goal. They sacked them right away. That was never in our plans as the West Ham board and the fans. We never I never saw one person give up on Manuel Pellegrini. Actually, that's not true. You see a few idiots on Twitter say sack him. But after four games, you can't judge a team. I mean, you just can't. I'm baffled at the amount of teams that just give up on managers so quickly, and I'm glad to see that wasn't the case. With our board, they are always reluctant to sack a manager, and it definitely was never in our thoughts to get rid of Pellegrini. Some fans are panicking, but now you can see what the plan actually was. And if you look at our front three of Arnautovic, Yarmolenko, and Anderson, it's pretty deadly, and it showed yesterday, or not yesterday, whenever we played you guys Saturday. And Pellegrini is probably the best manager that we could ever hope for as West Ham fans. Honestly, I don't think we can attract any bigger name than that. We were talking about going after Rafa from Newcastle, and he turned us down apparently, or something happened and we didn't get him. But those would be the kind of guys that we're going after. And Pellegrini, for us to lure him out of China, where he is making an absolute abundance of money, and get him here, he's managed Real Madrid, and he's managed other clubs as well. I mean, other massive clubs. You don't manage clubs like that if you don't have pedigree to you. And some people were saying that he can only manage big, massive teams, and he doesn't know how to cope with teams that are battling for relegation. Well, I mean, I think we saw that that's not in the part of the table that we're going to be at. And I think we can really kick on from here and forget about this four-game start that we had and really just push on up the table from here.
PK, so Brawley just talked about that front three now that they've signed players. They, you know, all three of those players weren't there a year and a half ago. And so now they got a front three that's attacking and aggressive. And we've been talking about what's our best front three. And people have been saying, Tony Marshall came from France. He should be one of our three. He was given the opportunity at West Ham. He certainly didn't account for himself very well.
No, he's a player that needs to earn his role. We have a lot of guys that are, I don't know if they're checked out because of Josie or just, you know, are ready to move on to the next chapter. But we have a lot of guys, you know, Sanchez is in this boat too. Martial, there's a few others that just, they're not grabbing the game by the gruff and going with it. And whether it's something personal in their personal life, in the locker room, whatever it might be, that just seems the temperament of the team right now, you know, up and down. And it's frustrating as a fan to see the potential that Martial's had. And he's been given the opportunities to earn his job back, and he's refused to do it.
So,
and I don't know,
so
if you don't mind if I chime in here real quick. I know I'm a West Ham fan, and but from an outsider looking in, watching that West Ham game, it looked to me like these guys aren't playing for the managers. And I know Martial hasn't gotten off to the best of starts with him, as well as Pogba and others. But to me, that looked like a group of guys that was not playing for their manager, especially on the third goal.
Well,
when you see center back
and
not tracking a runner back.
My thoughts on that are you don't play for the manager. You play for your crest. You're playing for Manchester United, the biggest club
absolutely
in the world. And that's my frustration. I don't care who the gaffer is. You're playing for the gold brand on your chest, and you're playing for the guys in Munich. You're playing for the Busby boys. You're playing for the class of 92. You have a bigger responsibility than your coach that you don't get along with to represent your club, and they are absolutely not doing it right now, and it's all on the players. I don't care who the coach is.
Matt, right now, so we have we've talked about the players are good. So many of these guys are playing internationally for their countries. Jose Mourinho has this great, great pedigree. So we have good players. We have good managers. But couldn't this just be like – a marriage? After a certain period of time, the marriage has gone bad. It's because for me, it's not even about the wins or losses right now, but it's about the style of play. And it's so disjointed that I'm really struggling to figure out, okay, what's he trying to do? We're doing a back three. We're doing a back four. We're playing Herrera as a center back. We're playing McTominay as a center back. The lack of consistency is maddening to me. So I'm asking you, is this just a bad marriage now? Do we truly need to go on, or do we need just to ride out this rough patch?
It's time to call it into it. I can't see either the players reconciling with Jose or Jose reconciling with the players. I think Jose's frustrated that he didn't get some of the players he wanted, in particular this summer. He's trying to make it work with what he's got, and he can't seem to get it figured out, and the players are getting frustrated along the way. I think the players have a style of play that they want to go out there and execute, but it's not what Jose wants. And so there just seems to be a complete disconnect at this point. And something's got to give. Either told that they're a problem, they need to be out, and they're going to be sold, or Jose's got to get sacked. There's no coming back from where we're at right now.
PK, what are your thoughts on that?
They got to buy in. There has to be a coming to Jesus moment. We've had this conversation for 3 weeks now. I've played on teams like this. I played on, players versus coaches, and the players, despite the coaches' best efforts, bond together and make things happen. I went to a Final Four with a team like this. Not going to say which team. But, the players got together and said, we're not going to let our coach ruin our experience. And we thrived. We're a better team by doing that. You're professionals. You're playing for Manchester United. Figure it out. Even if you don't like the coach, figure it out. And they're not doing it. They're being prima donnas. And I think the prima donna is being led by Pogba.
Brawley, when you're looking at it from the outside in, but I want to look at it from your perspective, because West Ham went through some really, really stuff, bad stuff about this time last year with your manager, and then you fired him mid-season and brought in the venerable David Moyes. But so then you kind of had you really went through a bad patch. Well, you got some guys sitting on the bench right now that have world-class experience that can't even get on the pitch, and I'm thinking about Lil P there. He can't even get on the pitch,
yeah.
But you don't hear him say anything bad about the club. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, so you're right. Last season we started off with Slaven Bilic, and he had his amazing first season, our last season at Upton Park. And then we brought in David Moyes, and it was not a popular choice. I certainly didn't want him, but he came in, he did a job, we stayed up, and everything was fine. But you're absolutely right. It seems like we do have solid professionals on this squad. And you're 100% right about Chicharito. I mean, he hasn't said one bad word to anyone. I genuinely don't believe he and David Moyes got along, and I don't know if that was
I
true.
I forgot he was
United
on the team.
Firstly, he's been out, so he wasn't even on the bench against United. He's had a glandular fever, as over here in the States we call it mono. So he had mono, apparently, and
good
he's been
him.
Out for the
good
last
for
3 weeks. Yeah, so he must have been making out with someone. I don't know. But, we have some great guys on the bench. And for me, when I look at the Pogba-Mourinho situation, I think the players are usually going to win that battle when they are as big as Paul Pogba is. And it's sad to see when these relationships go sour and then they have to go to the public to air out their dirty laundry. It's just not a good situation. It's not a good look for you guys. It's not this isn't the Manchester United that I've come to know and hate. You know what I mean? I've actually been enjoying, and not at your expense, it's other people. We're enjoying you guys getting a taste of what it's like to be a fan of what 99% of the teams out there are. And I know we know about it because we're St. Louis FC fans on here, so we know what that's like. But as Manchester United fans, you guys are getting a taste of it now. And it's kind of nice for us common folk, as we refer to ourselves. And it's nice for you guys, for us to see you guys getting a little taste of that. But you're absolutely right, though. It's especially when you're going back to talking about Old Trafford. I went back in 2016. I saw West Ham play away at Manchester United, and on that day, it was one of Louis van Gaal's last games. So I hate to bring back sour memories of that. But
we already got Moyes in the conversation. So
yeah, why not bring them all back?
Let's bring them all back
to talk about them. But the atmosphere on that day wasn't great either. I didn't think it was anything spectacular. The stadium is phenomenal. It is gorgeous, but the noise just was non-existent. And it seems like that's what's happening now again with this displeasure with Jose Mourinho.
Okay, so PK, let's bring you in here now. So Mourinho, I don't know if he's going to stay or go, but I want to talk about two people, and I want you to give me your thoughts on both of these guys. Matt, I want to get you in there, and then Brawley, I'll have you finish it up. And then I want to talk a little local stuff. First, Zidane, working on his English right now. Is he the right guy for Manchester United?
I would love to see him in this position. I think if they were going to fire Jose, they would have fired him already. For what the turnaround he did at Real, I think he will relate to the modern game a lot better than Mourinho has. I'm all for Team Zizou.
Okay, so for me, the guy I want is the man at Bournemouth right now, who I think, given money and a squad to motivate players, that's Eddie Howe. Would you consider Eddie Howe for the position?
At this point, I consider anyone for the position, except for Steve Sampson, the former U.S. coach.
All right, Matt, what do you think, Matt? So let's start you with Eddie Howe. To me, that's my guy. Young guy, Englishman. Is a up-and-coming coach, great tactics, gets his guys to play hard. Would he be a guy that could take on the job at Old Trafford?
I think it'd be an improvement, and he certainly would walk in without much of an ego. Maybe that's been the problem with the last two managers, a bit too much ego. It'd definitely be a risky move with a lack of experience, but, you know, it'd be something different, so it could be a good thing.
Do you think Zidane would be the guy to bring in, though, if given the choice?
You know, I don't know. Zidane would have a much bigger rebuilding job to do at United than what he was having to try to sort out when he got to Real. But the one thing that at Real Madrid he did have to deal with, it was a lot of egos and a lot of big personalities. And while he was there, that was never an issue. It was always a well-run team. The players got along well. And I think he could definitely find a way to get Pogba to get the best out of him.
Well, and you look at the Real team that – You look at the Real team that Zidane played on. It was the Galacticos. He knew how to deal with egos. He played with Ronaldo. He played with Beckham. He played with Figo. I mean, I could go on and on. He was in a locker room with the biggest egos at the time, and he learned how to figure it out and transferred into his coaching.
Sure, Brawley, you think Eddie Howe or would be a choice at Manchester United, or just too big a club for him?
I think there needs to be a step in between Bournemouth and Manchester United, probably, for if I was a fan of that club, for me to be comfortable with that. I think he plays the style that you guys want to see, so that's a start. But to me, he would have to go to an Everton or something along the way to get there. I think Bournemouth, a little tiny Bournemouth to Manchester United is a big gap. And I'm not saying he can't do it. Don't get me wrong, because I do think he's a brilliant manager. And England, were probably looking at him before they replaced Allardyce with Southgate. But I just think that's too big of a step for him. Zidane, I think, is perfect, honestly. As PK just said, you've seen the names that he's managed already and played with. So, I mean, he's done it at both ends already. For me, it makes complete and total sense for Zinedine Zidane to go to Manchester United. It just makes all the sense in the world to me. From a managerial standpoint and from a past player standpoint, I think it's a match made in heaven, honestly. If it's not Zidane, I don't know if you look at a guy like Conte, who was let go at Chelsea, or if you look at someone else. But for me, Eddie Howe is probably a bit premature.
All right, 10 seconds. PK, is Conte a guy you'd be comfortable with at Manchester United?
No, because I don't want to hear from the Chelsea fans of us taking their rejects.
All right. Matt, what do you think? Would Conte be a guy that you'd like to see at Old Trafford?
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right. So, I don't think that – I don't think so either. Now, I'm going to throw one more name at all you guys, and – Brawley, I'm going to start with you. So we get a hold of the Wales national team, and we say, Giggsy, we need you, baby. Ryan Giggs bombing down the wing. We think you're our guy. should he come back to Old Trafford?
So, again, I can't speak as a Manchester United fan. So, I mean, I know Ryan Giggs was an incredible player for you guys, and I know I hated going up against him whenever we did because he always seemed like he had great games against us. I don't know how he's been doing with Wales. I can't say honestly if I think he'd be a good match for you guys. I know the fans would probably go berserk and they would love it, and it would definitely get off to a good start. Probably it'd be a feel good story worldwide. It'd be a feel good story, but I honestly don't think I know enough about his managerial status to whether or not you guys should give him the keys to the car. That's just me probably not being a Manchester United fan. I'm sure you guys would be thrilled with it, but for me, I don't know.
PK, Ryan Giggs bombing on the sidelines instead of bombing down the wing. What do you think?
Giggs is one of my favorite soccer people ever. That being said, if Howe's away, a job or two away from taking the Man U gig, I think Giggs is a couple more clubs away from driving the Ferrari.
Matt?
Yeah, I agree. It's a very romantic idea, and I think, 10 years away from now, absolutely, I'd love to have him come back. But he's got to earn his way there, and I think being at Wales is definitely a good place to start, but he's not ready yet.
Well, and I hear what you guys are saying, but there's two words, guys, for me that will save Manchester United tomorrow, and that Manchester United would go on its winning ways with the swagger that we need. Two words, guys: Eric Cantona. That's all I'm going to say about that. Okay.
I knew you were going to say that.
you got to fight. But now I'm going to move from the king to the god, guys. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, possible return to AC Milan. PK, good move, or should he stay in the MLS and keep poaching goals?
It's going to be the most David Beckham thing in the world. Play for Galaxy, get loaned out to AC Milan. I'm for it. The more Zlatan, the better. I'll drink to that.
Okay, and I agree with you there, too. Brawley, if Zlatan said, hey, I'd like to come back and play for West Ham. Would you let Zlatan on the squad?
All day long. I would love it. I would absolutely love it. I would be all for it. I used to, when I was younger, hate Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And I don't know what it is about his personality that I've just fallen in love with lately. But firstly, I think he would add to the team. He's a better version of Andy Carroll, and he doesn't get injured as much. So, I know he has had a few injury problems in the past, but I don't think he'd be cancerous. I think he'd be a good locker room guy, and I would have him all day long. I mean, I would in a heartbeat.
Well, I think so too. Now, Andy Carroll, anybody is less injury prone than Andy Carroll. I mean,
Andy Carroll on the same team.
I actually had to look at my show notes to see if Andy Carroll was still on the squad.
Yes, you bet he is.
Okay, guys, let's do some local stuff here. First, I'm getting reports now that our new governor, the county executive, and the St. Louis mayor have all gotten together and said, you know what, let's make another run at MLS to STL. Matt, do you think this has any legs at all, or is this just a pipe dream?
No, I think there's actually a lot of legs to this. There were some rumors from some pretty credible sources back in July that Enterprise was looking to put a bid out for an MLS team, and now the news has finally recently broke. And, the Taylor family's got a lot of money. They've been throwing a lot of money around in St. Louis. They support local St. Louis schools, the Fox. They're stepping in a lot of ways where Anheuser-Busch is back.
Scott Trade Center.
Isn't Scott Trade anymore? Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of money there, and they want, from what we're starting to hear, it sounds like they want to have Kavanaugh involved. So, and in today's news, we heard that they were, they're talking to the county. So it almost feels like the play may be, the Taylor family may put the bid in. They may try to acquire STLFC St. Louis Scott Gallagher, bring them into the fold, the practice facilities would be built out in the county, which would also be the place where the youth and academy setup would play at. And then you got the downtown stadium. And so it gets county and city involved. The Taylor's got a lot of money. MLS has not, you know, completely ruled this out yet. So I think with the parties involved and just the logistics of it all, I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think the Taylors are willing to put up the money as opposed to, you know, asking for a whole lot of tax other than maybe some breaks. So I would bet yes.
PK, you kind of know a little bit about this through STLFC. Is this viable? I mean, well, we've had our heart broke before with this. Is this a viable offer that the MLS is going to look at? Or, because, I mean, there's seven or eight cities now still looking to get some expansion teams. They've already announced this first round of expansion. Are we just like, throwing it against the wind and see what sticks?
I think despite our best efforts, the MLS desperately wants to be here. They want another Midwest team. They have Chicago. They have Minnesota. They have Kansas City. They want a team in the middle, and they desperately want to be here more than I think we want them here, just judging by the vote. Is there legs to round two here? Absolutely. I think so too. I've heard some murmurs that I'm not allowed to comment on. I was removed as admin from MLS to STL's Facebook page after a year of departing St. Louis FC. So someone's looking at that page to go do something. I don't know what, and to me, I'm not angry at that at all. I think that's a good sign. I think it's a tremendous sign that something's going to happen here soon. I think having the Taylor family involved, they're so giving to St. Louis, and they were going to be, you know, the naming rights of the Rams Stadium. So there's a huge chunk of a change that they're not spending that they planned on spending on an NFL naming rights. Which, you know, could fund an entire MLS franchise. So, you know, I hope so. St. Louis needs a team despite its best efforts. I really hope this comes to pass. I think it'll be great for St. Louis, especially with the St. Louis footprint in global soccer. I mean, we have club presidents in Scotland and LA Galaxy. You look at almost a lot of the top colleges have guys that are from St. Louis coaching on it. It'd be great for them to have an academy, two great universities like SIUE and SLU to coach at. You know, a lot of things would come home to roost if they can get an MLS team here. It'd be a great mark for the city.
Raleigh, do you think that St. Louis, the soccer community, would band together to support an MLS franchise?
Oh, God, yeah. It's was really, really sad to see the way the vote went and the lack of, it seems like, education on the subject that a lot of people had. And I get that people hear public money and public funding for a stadium, and they just think Stan Kroenke, Rams, no way, I don't want anything to do with that. Because we in St. Louis have had our heart broken too many times by stuff like that. And so part of me understands that, but people really needed to be more educated on it, I thought, and I don't know that there was a – I know there was an effort put forth to do that, and I think once people fully understand what's going on, they will 100% be behind it. And city and county, getting them both involved, I think is good. And I think we have the fan base to do it. I mean, you can see we support our teams in St. Louis. We do. And there's a huge soccer community here that not a lot of people seem to know about. And 100%, we would be right up there with – some of the best fans in MLS. I have no doubt about that. And I think I'm trying not to get my hopes up personally, because I actually was really, really upset about it. And I didn't talk to a whole lot of people about it. But I was very upset when the vote came out and it sounded like our dream was dead. So I'm cautiously optimistic that this is true. And I really does hope it bears some fruit for us.
Okay, so a couple things, guys. We're going to wrap up the show. Okay, first, Matt, talk to us a little bit about the Red Army coming together, and it looks like we're going to order a new round of scarves.
Yeah, so we did a scarf about, it's probably about a year and a half or so ago. So Jimmy Blood, who is in our group and is super talented from a visual standpoint, He's agreed to put together a new scarf for us. So we've got to post that on the Facebook group. We've been trying to get some ideas together. So if people are listening and they got any other thoughts, jump in, share those. And I think in the next week or two, we'll ask Jimmy to put up a few ideas and just keep your eye out for that. You know, costs will be very reasonable. We won't make any money off of it. Any extra will cover shipping and buying a back stock. So just looking to get some ideas and participation with that.
Awesome. Okay, PK, STLFC, they had a little setback recently, but still in the playoff hunt. What's going on with them?
They lost to a very good Phoenix team led by Didier Drogba. I'm serious. He plays every once in a while for them. We need 4 points out of our last two games. We play an absolute terrible Tulsa team on a rain delay makeup on the 10th. The game is supposedly going to start in the 9th minute because they played 9 minutes before the delay. They need 4 points out of their last two. They play two teams that are already eliminated, but they're rivals who would love to knock us out. Sacramento did a big favor last night by beating Swope Park. So we might end up at 7th. We might end up at 8th. We might not end up at all. So, you know, go out to the park, support your local club, St. Louis FC, you know, and hopefully we'll be the first playoff team in St. Louis in about 18 months.
No, that'd be awesome. I'll tell you why. Brawley, we're going to end the show, though, because I want to talk to you about your show a little bit. You have something going on with the Hammers. Why don't you tell us about what's going on with your show and what it's all about?
Sure. So I'm one of the co-hosts of the American West Ham podcast, and it was a show that me and my buddy Tony Clark, he's from Philadelphia, we both came together. There was a mutual friend that we had that got us tickets to games while we were over there, and we didn't know each other before then, and we ended up meeting for the first time when West Ham came over here to play the Carolina Railhawks, now known as North Carolina FC. We played them in the preseason. We met, and we decided we should start a podcast for American listeners because we do have a pretty big fan base, believe it or not, over here. So that runs. We do a show once a week. So if any of your fans are interested in hearing an opposition view maybe when we play each other, you feel free to give us a listen. You can find us on iTunes and on SoundCloud. And I think it's very much like your show. We have two Americans, and we occasionally have guests on, and basically two guys that love soccer, that love football, and we're passionate, just like you guys are. So if any of your guys want to check us out, we'd be more than happy to have you listen to our show.
Brawley, when are you guys on?
So we record either Saturday or Sunday nights, and we usually get it out either Monday or Tuesday. We are very amateur. Just a little forewarning. Tony does all the editing himself, and it's good. It's just realize that we're not professionals, and we don't get paid to do it. Just like I'm sure you guys don't either. And keep an open mind. Try our best.
I get paid. I don't know about the other guys.
Whoa! What's this pay thing? What's this money thing all about?
No.
At the end of the show, I'm your host, Brett Oldham, along with the rest of the crew, Patrick Kelly, Matt Hutchinson, and guest host, Brawley Darvin. We will be back next Thursday at 10 p.m. with another installment of Talk Manchester United with the St. Louis Red Army. We will break down the Newcastle United match and all the things United. Thanks for joining us, and remember, glory, glory, Man United.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.